Hope you enjoyed part one of our visit with Solomon Wilcotts. Man, he's got much more knowledge to impart. Stay tuned for part two. They signed Basham as an edge rush guy, and he played for Jimmy Burrow at Ohio U, which is kind of interesting. But, I mean, the thing is, Stolle, it's like, all right, they sign an offensive tackle, an interior offensive lineman, a safety, a corner, a tight end, an edge rush guy. You know, I mean, they covered a lot of bases, you know, and then not to mention re-signing Jermaine Pratt at inside linebacker when you lose the two safeties. To lose him at inside linebacker, well, would have been a huge blow because of the communication that goes on, you know, within that aspect of the interior of the defense. How about the signing of Pratt? How big do you think that is?
Monumental.
I agree.
All the guys that I know who are – these are former players. When we're all former Bengals. We kind of get together in our little huddle, and I know a lot of people don't think we know what the heck we're talking about. But, you know, we did play a little bit, and we do watch the games very intently and very closely. And Jermaine Pratt is one of our favorites. I mean, he's a guy that in the den of tough football guys, you know, a Barney Bussey, a Ira Hillary, a Joe Kelly, you know, these guys admire, and as do I, admire Jermaine Pratt. Mm-hmm. Just because you watch his game, he's got the strength of like 2 to 10 men. I mean, I watch him come off blocks, and you know, and the same way we feel about DJ Reader, right? Just does things that people don't see, that you're not gonna catch on the highlight reel. That's how we feel about Jermaine Pratt and the way that he's grown in his role year in, year out. These guys, when they run up against him, he whips the guy in front of him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He physically whips you. And so what he gives us is this sense of physicality that's needed in the AFC North. If you're gonna win back-to-back championships and then try to make it 3 in a row, you need him to be able to take on teams like Baltimore and Cleveland with their really good offensive line and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was imperative to keep him. I wish we could have kept Von Bell too. Not that I didn't want Jesse Bates. I think Von Bell gave us a physicality too. And I know how this division plays. I know what it's like when you get into postseason. And I think underrated is the Bengals' physicality on defense. I think you saw it at the end of the Patriots game when we hit strip, from their big back, Ramondre Stevens. It just took the ball from him. Same with Pratt against Travis Kelce. That kind of physicality wins games, Dave. You and I both know it, and it shows up with these guys.
Yeah, I agree, Solly, 100,000%. You know, it's now free agency is been around here for a little bit. You know, there are guys that saw, oh man, maybe the market's not as good as I thought it was going to be, and there are guys still out there. Will the Bengals do anything more in free agency? Maybe not until after the draft, because now the focus, I think, is starting to turn toward the draft as April wears on. It's going to be the end of the month with the draft. And as we said, the Bengals, I mean, between re-signing their own and signing others in free agency, about 10 guys that are going to have an impact on the football team. And as we know, every year the football team changes from a personnel standpoint. What do you think about the draft? I know you keep up with the draft, Solly. Everybody says, oh, is this a good draft or a bad draft? There's always good football players. That's what do you think about this draft? Are there position groups that fit the Bengals well that the Bengals may be able to make some hay?
Yeah, let's just say Bengals have a couple of needs, I think, that stand out to me. Tight end, cornerback, safety. Great year, by the way, for tight ends.
Yep.
Great year. Like, I think there's going to be one available that – you know, take a Darnell Washington from Georgia, big, athletic, can block. He's an inline tight end. How much would he help our running game? And how big would he be down inside the red zone? Remember, we're talking about playing two tight ends, maybe a little bit more, right? Yeah. You can bloody people's nose. You can protect your quarterback a little bit better. Max protect, right? Because our receivers can win outside. By themselves. So I think it would enhance our running game while at the same time improve our red zone passing options down inside the red zone.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out, that's just one name, but there's multiple tight ends who I'd be happy with if, you know, if they were there when the Bengals go in the, on the clock at the end of the first round. Now, cornerback, very deep. So if you got one in the first round, I know we just got Cam Taylor-Britt. He's moving into a starting role. I think we're going to get another one. I think we're going to get another one in first or second round, if not a safety. It just depends on who's there.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me knowing Lou if it's that hybrid guy, right, who can do a little bit of both, right? But they're going to have to be physical. That's what you have in Chidobe Awuzie. That's what you have in Cam Taylor-Britt. So I think you're going to find that same kind of player when the Bengals are on the clock at the end of the first round. I think they're going to have a great conversation in there. If there's a corner there, and I think there will be because they're deep, they're deep. And I think there'll be a tight end there. It just depends on where they have them rated on their board.
Exactly. You know, and you look at it, Washington, like you speak of, like 6'7", 270. Ooh. I mean, this is a big human being.
Yeah.
Do you see him blocking that two-man sled at the combine? I mean, he's moving that thing. I'm like, dude. And then he made that one-handed catch. I'm like, what the? I mean, this guy is
he's something else. He's going to be there. And when he walks around, there's a big shadow. you know what I'm saying? It's like a skyscraper, you know. You want to, on a hot day, you want to be on the right side of him, you know.
Right.
It's much cooler.
Yeah, there's no question about it. No doubt about it. What do you think of Michael Mayer, the kid that played in Northern Kentucky, went to Notre Dame? Solly, I haven't seen him drop a ball, man. Dude catches everything.
Let me tell you something now. I'm stunned because they've got a couple of guys, you know, ahead of him from South Dakota and Utah.
Yeah.
Ahead of our guy, you know, from Covington Catholic. And, you know, I had a chance to speak with him at the scouting combine. And we're all kind of quietly hoping. You notice I didn't mention his name.
Right,
I didn't mention his name. I mean, but hey, you want to put those guys ahead of Mike? Go right ahead. We know what this kid's made of.
Yeah.
He's got the best pair of hands, I'm going to say, in the draft, because I would say he's equal to any wide receiver in this draft, and clearly the best set of hands of any other tight ends. This guy can catch it in traffic. He's got the mitts on him. That's huge. I know I have big hands, but this guy's got he's got Johnny Bench hands. we all know Johnny's had some mitts on him now. And that's what Mayer is working with. He's a talented player, talented.
So at cornerback, I mean, late first round, I know this is all pure speculation. I mean, Witherspoon, Gonzalez, Joey Porter, those guys will probably, you know, they probably won't be around necessarily. What about Deontay Banks, Maryland, Stevenson from Miami, Forbes from Mississippi State? There's a kid from Syracuse that is a good player, Garrett Williams from Syracuse. I mean, they'll be somebody. They'll be a pretty good player late stages of the first round, don't you think, at corner?
You just named all of those guys that come to mind, and they're all very, you know, what I love about these corners now, they're big, they're fast, and they're versatile. You know, it's no more of these little 5'9 guys. These guys, they've put together. Remember when Cam Taylor-Britt came here a year ago? I got to spend some time with him. I was like, this dude, he's put together now. He was a team captain, which I know Zach puts a lot of premium on that, and for all the right reasons, because you need guys who are self-leaders, who pull guys the right way. And that's, yeah, that's another thing about why I think we're going to chill right now in the free agent market, because I think Zach, one thing that he does a lot of things very well, but just understanding the dynamics of his locker room, I think he's got his finger on that very well. I know he pays close attention to it, and the guys he brought in here last year in the draft, they were additions to it. These young players talk about it. When I'm around them, you know, they like, hey, man, we love our locker room. That's what you hear Joe Burrow talks about a lot.
Right.
They talk about the locker room, man. That is something that cannot be missed. And so that's the thing when you're talking about who this player is going to be in the first round or who they're going to be even down the line. When they're all even, particularly in that secondary, they've got to be tough. They've got to be have some good size on it, but they have to have this versatility to them, like a Dax Hill and a Cam Taylor-Britt, the ability to play inside, outside, safety, corner, hybrid type players who are really smart, who are dependable and accountable, and want to be part of something special. That's the kind of players you're looking for. And I got to tell you, man, they've been hitting it out of the park, even in free agency and in the draft. It's that kind of prototype, right? Yep. Where they're checking off all these boxes. And that's why we have ourselves a really good football team.
There's no doubt. I mean, Orlando Brown was so impressive, man. Articulate, intelligent dude. Yeah. You know, just not to mention his physical, you know, aspects. I mean, powerful human being, big, massive guy. But the thing that we talked about this before, Solly, this is a destination now. People are reaching out to them. When they call, people listen. I mean, when the kid gets drafted by the Bengals on the draft, when Cincinnati calls, it's going to be, man, I'm excited to be a Bengal. I mean, it is the world's their oyster right now. I mean, for them to be able to go out and get Orlando Brown done in a timely fashion the way they did, I mean, the whole dynamic is they're in a good spot right now, aren't they?
And in every single case, and that's true with Orlando Brown, it was true with Riley Reiff, it was true.
Yep.
You know, when all these guys, Joe Burrow is part of it. He's all in.
No doubt.
You know, he could be somewhere in the Bahamas somewhere having a great time, but he really is a part of the fabric of the team. He wants to be sure that the guys who come here, that they're having some dialogue. You know, he's vested in this team. He's vested in the locker room and making, he knows what winning looks like. He knows what the locker room should look like and how teams work together to really be as good as you can possibly be. And I think that's a credit to him as a leader. You know, not every quarterback is wired that way. And, you know, I don't know if that was a part of the contract. In fact, I know that there isn't. It's not part of the contract. In other words, not part of what they're supposed to be about. But you and I both know the really good ones who are trying to stack championships, they know that it's inherently a part of what they're asked to do. They've got to be all in, and Joe Burrow definitely is all in. And I think it's made an impression with many of the players who, as they're kind of leaning, do I come, do I not come? Once they see Joe, it's, you know, coming over, talking with him, bringing him over to his house.
Yep.
And he's so easy to communicate with and is ready to make you part of his extended family. I think that all they got to do is just send Joe over there with the contract. Here, Joe, might as well take this with you.
But
speaks volumes of who he is.
Yeah, he's the lead recruiter. No doubt about that. Right. I mean, he is the kingpin recruiter. That's
hey, you know, his dad's a coach. His dad's a good recruiter too, you know.
No question about it. So I guess let me get you out of here on this one, Solly, and because we talk about Joe Burrow, and whenever you talk about Bengals, Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow and Bengals are synonymous. The bees, Bengals Burrow, you know.
Yeah.
When do you think the contract might be done? I mean, now there's speculation it might be like right around the draft. There has been some dialogue. How much is it heated up? How much of it is still in infancy stage? Nobody really knows. It's going to get done. Do you think there's not any real hard deadline as such, but what's your guess? And it's pure speculation. What do you think?
Before training camp. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I could I could tell you before training camp, they're not going to go to work without this thing done. They're not going into the upcoming season without this thing getting done. And I just think it's about, you know, I think the Bengals are smart enough. And I know Joe is, he's not really hung up on this. I think there's enough out there for him to follow, whether it was Tom Brady, the kind of contracts that he did.
Mahomes.
And I think Mahomes for sure. The 10-year $500 million deal is not out of line.
Right.
$500 million over 10 years, average of $50 million a year. How you're going to pay that out over the 10 years is another thing. But as you well know, I think it's going to be sort of built in a formula to grow along with the salary cap, right?
Right.
Cap continue to go up. Now that annual number looks a little bit better. but the percentage of the cap is going to just be like this flat. So that means you do have the money to spend to continue to put players around them. For the first couple of years, remember the Chiefs after the Mahomes deal, they lost Tyreek Hill, right? They lost Orlando Brown. So I think for the first couple of years afterwards, we're not losing T. Higgins. We're not losing Ja'Marr Chase. But, hey, look, we already lost Von Bell. We already lost Jesse Bates. I think some of that, the decisions this year were baked in, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll have to play it tight. Will we be able to spend in free agency like we have the last 3 years? I don't think so over the next few years, next maybe 3 to 4. But then after that, that's where you start to see the contract add a little more balance as the salary cap continue to go up. That's smart business. But this guy's the long, you play the long game with him. You don't sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal. You just make it 10 years and say, all right, what's next? Right.
Right. Right.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like at some point somebody is going to try to say, look, why don't we, one of these star quarterbacks, why don't we have a situation where I have a clause in the contract that as the salary cap goes up, there's an automatic escalator, be it in the form of a bonus payment or whatever, yeah, that keeps me commensurate with what's going on, yeah, from a cap standpoint increase with my contract. And, yeah, you know, we don't have to go back to the table, you know, every 10-year deal, 4 years in or whatever. It's all like built in based on the numbers, based on, you know, a percentage of the numbers or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
no, that's smart, because here's what we do know. And these projections, you know, I've been in meetings. I don't run this league, but, you know, I've been fortunate and privy enough to understand their verticals. And
right,
no one's going broke paying these contracts. And I think our fans hear these numbers, they're like, whoa, you know, and $50 million is a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, no one's going broke paying these contracts. Our league, our commissioner has done such a wonderful job at creating verticals. You're talking more, not broadcasting rights, but streaming rights.
Right.
That's a whole nother vertical of the broadcast relationship. Right. As you well know, the collective bargaining has counted that money. There's a portion of that money, TV rights, broadcasting, streaming, gaming, that is to be shared with the players. 55% of the designated gross revenue, that's where the salary cap is established. So that money is shared with the players through collective bargaining.
Gambling. So,
yeah, well, I said gaming. Yeah, we call it gaming.
Yes, gaming.
That's right. That's kind of the term, wink,
right,
wink, you know, that we,
yep.
That we name. But no, so this is expected by the end of the decade. This league's going to be earning, the projections are $25 billion a year business. We're ready to expand and have an entire vision, a division of teams, four teams in the UK.
Yeah.
And so I've been to our league offices in London. It's not some small shed, I can tell you that.
Right.
Right there in the heart of London. And let me tell you something now. It's the heart of capitalism. You know, all roads go through London. They always have. And they still do, as you well know. So, no, yeah, the growth of our league is alive and well. And so that means teams like ours, not a big market team, but a mid-size or to a small market team, can afford their franchise quarterback into perpetuity and continue to put a competitive and winning product on the field.
Yeah, if you get that franchise quarterback in some sort of a scenario like I was talking about earlier, where all of a sudden, because of something that just took off, whatever it was, streaming, whatever, you have a 15% increase in the cap.
That's right.
And then maybe you're flatter, you know, 2%, 3% for a couple, and then another 10% because of something else.
That's right.
I mean, if you have it built in, the escalator into the bonus, whatever is built into that range increase numbers wise, you can't do it with everybody, but with the studs, with the stars, you can definitely do it, man, with the franchise guys. There's no doubt.
We're the force multiplier.
Yes.
This guy does his job, but he makes it easier for everyone else to do their job. And look, we love Joe Burrow. I there's a book that's coming out, and this is what it is. It's called From Bulldog to Bengal. It's the Joe Burrow story through the eyes of his hometown.
Right.
I encourage every Bengal fan to get it. I've been speaking with Scott Burson, the co-author, and Sam Smathers, Joe Burrow's Little League football coach.
Right.
Every year through the Little League, taught him a lot of wonderful principles. I've spoken to his mom and dad, Jimmy and Robin Burrow. They're just great people.
Sure.
And so we ought to enjoy this period of time in Bengals history. But he's a special young man, special player. He doesn't put himself above anyone. He just does things the right way, and he's going to give us his best, and he deserves our support, that's for sure. But you know, we're gonna be fine as long as he's healthy and upright. And I think it inspires other people in the locker room, people in the front office, the coaches, everyone. I mean, it's just a really great energy down there right now. You know it because you're in the building. And you always want – those are the people you want to reward. Like,
yeah.
To me, those – because those are the force multiplier. They're checking so many boxes that it just multiplies by itself in terms of your ability to continue to win and have fun while you're doing it. Those are the kind of players that – what you were talking about, what you were describing, those are the guys you want to reward.
No doubt. And we did the same thing, Solly. We talked to both authors about – Joe's book on a podcast as well. And the thing I liked about it, portion of the proceeds go to the Joe Burrow Foundation, right, which is feeding people in need. And, you know, in his hometown and in Cincinnati and down in Louisiana. I mean, that's all good stuff. That's the Burrow family, man. That's strong group right there, isn't it?
and that family is bigger, right? It's their entire community down there, but you're right. Hey, you know, Jimmy, you know, I went to the University of Colorado. I didn't dare break his heart and say, well, you know, you and I were not supposed to. He went to Nebraska. I was at Colorado. Right. I told Cam Taylor-Britt the same thing. And, you know, Zach, poor guy, he grew up in Norman, Oklahoma, had to go to Lincoln. I don't know how he got that done. His dad was a great player at Oklahoma. And
he was.
But that just goes to show you, once we kind of take off the colors, we all just ball players. We all love the game equally. And we find a way to make it happen, don't we?
No question about it, Solly. Hey, man, as always, appreciate you. Appreciate everything you're about. Thanks for carving time for us, my man.
Dave, you're the best. I greatly appreciate you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.